Hi, Harry. This is Bill
Okay.
again.
Yep.
Basically, I'm calling. I just want to know what the heck's going on with the AFL-CIO now.
Well, that's a pretty broad question.
Well, you can take whatever time you need.
They're having a three-day meeting in Las Vegas. That's the Executive Council. And they were faced with a series of problems because, admittedly now, the AFL-CIO is in crisis. And actually, they spent most of the time in those 3 days discussing money. That is, there was a proposal by Stern, that's Andy Stern, president of the Service Employees Union.
Oh, yeah.
And Jim Hoffa, the president of the Teamsters, they suggested that they get back 50% of the money that they pay into the AFL-CIO Treasury in terms of per capita, and that they would use that money for union organizing. Well, the motion was defeated by the Sweeney forces. The vote was, I believe, 15 to 7. Now, I didn't know whether your readers know some of this background. The Stern and several others, the Unite and the hotel workers and the laborers were part of a group called the New Unity Partnership.
Oh, yeah, and I believe the carpenters were in that,
The
too.
Carpenters were in, and it was disbanded. They couldn't come to any agreement. So these four who remained in the AFL-CIO sponsored this proposal for a 50% rebate. And they were joined by three unions, by Hoffa, of course, and the United Food and Commercial Workers. And one final one, let's see. There was the United Auto Workers. So that was seven. But they were opposed by a whole series of unions, the communication workers, the teachers, the public employees, electricians, a number of others. All in all, 15 of the unions who opposed them. Now, the issue is this. They wanted 50% of the rebate, but there was no plan for using this money with new strategies. As you know, for the past 10 years, the AFL-CIO has been trying various ways to organize, to increase their membership, and failed miserably. And they have never come up with any strategy that made sense. And now these unions are asking for 50% of that money that they pay in for union organizing without giving any clue as to how they're going to use the money in a different way. And so that was one of the things that was discussed, and it was a sort of a test case between the Sweeney forces and the Stern group. There was also a motion to increase the funding for political action to $45 million a year, and that carried 14 to 8. Now, in some ways, that made more sense because the membership of the AFL-CIO is more involved in the political activity than in organizing activity. And they did quite well in the 2004 election. One out of four of the voters, the total voters, came from union households. That's a remarkable figure. And so they're hoping to expand the political activity, and especially now there's the issue of defeating President Bush's privatization of Social Security, where the unions are really going all out to defeat.
Oh, yeah, there you are. Sorry.
And they figure that's the winner. And if they can win that political battle, that will help their union organizing efforts. So that's some of the things, those are the two major actions that were taken. Now, in 3 days, they did not get to solving any of the real problems that needed to be dealt with in order to for unions to get out of this crisis. For example, Stern is coming forward with a restructuring plan. I don't know whether you're familiar with that.
Yeah, basically they want to cut down on the number of unions.
That's right, from 58 to 20 or less, or 20 or fewer. Now, the question is, how are they going to do it, you know? If the unions, some of those 30 or 40 unions that would be left out, or who don't want to be merged, what's going to happen to them?
Well, we know what happens when corporations downsize. A lot of people lose their jobs.
Yeah,
and,
well, that's right. But that would be staffers losing their jobs.
Yeah.
But the unions would be weakened.
Right. Well, I was thinking, too, that the people running the unions, you know, they don't want to, they want to have their union and have that power and position more than they want to be subsumed under something else.
Well, you could say that some of the leaders are have a self-interest in perpetuating their union. But the others seriously are feel that merging their particular union with another union artificially wouldn't make much sense and would involve changes in contracts. You know, a lot of these unions have contracts affecting the workers' pension rights, other benefits, and what would happen in these mergers. At any rate, Stern's proposal is getting nowhere. He's got a lot of hoopla in his own union, but most of the union members that I talk to and some of the leaders have no regard. Don't think that makes much sense. And what they fear most is that it would disrupt the labor movement. And several of the unions have come up with ideas which would still maintain the unity of the labor movement and provide some constructive alternatives. For example, the communication workers have come up with the idea of building up a network of shop stewards, which are the key, who play the key role in organizing and in maintaining and servicing the unions. They've talked about a strike fund of $200 for every striker, so to encourage the unions that are in a position to that can't deal with an employer and are forced to strike, there would be some money for the strikers. And the AFSCME, the Public Employees Union, obviously favors expansion of political and legislative activity. And then there are the machinists who want to increase the outreach of the AFL-CIO to the unorganized. They favor establishing some kind of national publication, national activity that would reach millions of unorganized workers who want to have a union but don't know how to go ahead and need to be encouraged.
Yeah, they actually been promoting the idea of a union or a labor-oriented television network.
That is correct. Well, it's one of the things I've been talking about for years, and the AFL-CIO has balked at that.
Well, it looks like here they're looking at least three different fronts, more organizing of workers, more political organizing, and what we could loosely call perhaps a cultural front, you know, with a national media organ.
Yeah, well, the teachers are particularly would like to see the unions be a sort of social lobbyists, and they'll take on broader issues than the AFL-CIO normally takes on.
Oh, to become more of a social movement like back in the old days.
That's right. Deal with the larger issues. In this case, we now have that, the question of Social Security, but other issues of national importance.
Well, as a matter of fact, this bankruptcy bill that they just got cloture on today.
Right, and there are a number of issues. Certainly, some of the corporate mergers should be tackled. You know, where, for example, the AT&T and is talking about a merger with one of the other big companies, where they were talking about eliminating 13,000 jobs. Mm. Now, that's certainly, why 13? Why should they be eliminating any jobs?
Well, it seems like they still have the same number of customers and telephones to take care of.
Yeah. Well, they would cut down some of the services, they say.
Yeah.
You know, the customers usually lose in these mergers. They proclaim them to be efficient and to be very helpful and supportive of the customers, but it turns out that the customers actually lose, and often prices go up.
Yeah, I've noticed that in my personal life. I've also noticed, it seems to me, that a lot of these more utility-type companies, it seems to me like their trucks and their equipment are getting older, too. They don't seem to be maintaining things as well as they used to.
Well, if you're interested in profit, you try to do as little as possible, to spend as little as possible to maintain your profits. That's certainly traditional. But, you know, one of the very interesting things in the discussion outside. By the way, I should mention this in the event that your listeners are not aware of, that in the past couple of months, Sweeney has established a forum where unions and rank and filers and everyone who has an idea to help the labor movement can post their suggestions on this forum. Now, it's incredible. It has never happened in decades that I can remember.
What is this on the AFL-CIO website?
That is correct. It's a special forum there. Now, over 16 international union leaders have submitted proposals, often many pages length. Normally, they're pretty tight-lipped about their views. And some 35 Central Labor Councils and state federations have submitted their views. And as a matter of fact, I even got my views posted, and that's the first time I've ever been mentioned on the AFL-CIO website.
Well, congratulations.
They're opening up. They don't know what to do. Can you imagine that after 10 years of Sweeney as a reformer, they haven't figured out how to organize companies with 15,000 or more employees? Has been one or two, may possibly, but in the past 20 or 30 years, the AFL-CIO has failed. Now, you go back to the 1930s, you know, the unions, the CIO organized in the period of 2 years. They organized General Motors, General Electric, Westinghouse, a whole series of AT&T, Western Union, a whole series of major companies in textiles, in meatpacking, in communications.
The auto industry.
Shipbuilding, in all auto, of course. General Motors, Chrysler, and Ford, all in the space of 2 years. Now, admittedly, the situation was quite different. But the appeal to workers to join unions was there, and still is. But the unions haven't made a case. They haven't made a real good case. And there are several things that are really wrong in their approach.
Well, so, that's, pretty obvious. The results show that. The proof's in the pudding there.
Yeah. Well, if you want to know why, I have some ideas as to why they're unable to do this.
Well, I'd sure like to hear them.
All right. I would say there are three problems with their organizing activity. One is that their organizers are not well trained. They're patsies when they come up against the consultants that are hired by a major corporations. As a matter of fact, I have a direct experience. You know, I'm a teacher of organizing, and took on eight groups of international organizers for the laborers' union. That included organizers, presidents, and business managers. And I played the role of management, and then I played the role of worker, and I had them all tongue-tied. They couldn't answer some of the basic questions that normally are asked and then the organizing campaign by the opposition.
And you said you had people there from the Laborers Union?
Yes.
Well, that's my union, as a matter of fact.
Well?
And also, they're called one of the unions that's referred to as an organizing union.
Well, that happens to be a fact. I taught them at the George Meany Center, and I took on about eight of them, eight groups of 30. So that's one of the problems. They have to develop leaders, and they're not interested in developing a new leadership, or they haven't shown any signs that they are. But that's a very important thing, because here you spend millions of dollars, and these leaders are the staffers. People don't know how to win battles.
Well, I'll kind of give you an example right here in Champaign. And also in Chicago, there is the National Labor College. They have
yes.
extensions on those in Champaign and Chicago. And I basically never hear about this from any unions. I just know about it because I know somebody that's involved in it. And I think they should... a lot of the local unions and others should be providing scholarships to their members to go to this college.
They should have some activities. Bring in new fresh blood, you know. You need new people who have ideas. And actually, the same leaders have been in power for 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
And they want, and they're going to try to be get more 4 more years at the convention. That happens to be the facts, unless some changes are made.